Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Georgiani with Jerry Usher. And you are the key person. You are the person that with your takes, your experiences, your life situations, we learn and we grow. This is where we take a fresh look at ourselves and the world around us. And today we're looking at our parents. Honor your father and mother. That's what we're talking about today. How we treat our parents. Right, Jerry?
Yeah, as adult children, how do we treat our parents? Absolutely. We'd love to have you weigh in on this because maybe you have had to take a more of an active role in the care of your parents. They may be in an assisted living facility. Do you visit them? How are they being treated there? Are you one of a number of siblings and you feel like you're the one who's been left to take care of your parent or parents? The other siblings don't participate. So there's a lot of directions we can go with this today.
Boy, I can relate to that last one.
Yes,
absolutely. And it's all good. But, you know, the one of the commandments, honor your father and mother, very important. It comes straight from God. And sometimes we don't always do that in our regular lives and in practical life. And so it's important that we look at this. Now, I just wanted to share real quickly that Ryan's ready to answer your call. Please call in and talk about how adult children treat their parents, whether you've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. We want to hear all of it. We want to learn. We want to grow. You do not have to be Catholic to call in. Please, if you're listening right now, you're part of the Take Two family. 833-288-3986. I just have to share this real quickly. I didn't even share it with Jerry and Michael before the show, okay? So I'm sharing it for the first time. This morning in morning prayer that I was doing, it came crystal clear to me. And I actually kind of rejected it a bit, and it kept coming back. So I don't know what this means, but I really rely on the Holy Spirit when this happens. It only happens, you know, it's very infrequent, but when it does, it's for somebody special. So there is going to be a daughter listening to this show today. And after this show, this daughter is going to be feel prompted to pick up the phone and call their mother. Okay, it came crystal clear. Now, I can assure you, I don't have any daughters, so it's not going to be me. It's somebody else, but it's a daughter is going to call their mother after this show for the first time in a long time. And if that's you, if you feel prompted by the Spirit, and if that's you, could you email us at take2@ewtn.com, take2@ewtn.com, just because we like to praise God and thank God. Okay, but Jerry, I just, the first time I shared it with you, it came crystal clear this morning that there is a daughter that's going to call their mother.
Well, let's hope and pray that that is the case. Let's hope and pray in situations like that where there's maybe been a long period of time between communication or correspondence or maybe even an estrangement. It would be great if that were the case and that came true, and also many others, maybe sons and daughters, get back in touch with your parents. So that's what we're talking about today. As adult children, we go on, we lead our own lives, we have our own kids, we maybe have grandkids, but you still have parents who are living. It is so important. Have we lost our conscience in this area? Debbie, as you wrote in the show synopsis on take2show.com, it's not always the case that adult children are very, you know, kind and loving and solicitous of their parents.
It's very true. And we live in today's world where the elderly, our seniors, they're just not really valued. It's like, oh, they've lived a great life. You know, who cares? They're done now. It's my turn. It's really a very selfish way of looking at life in general, because we're all going to be there. You know, see, it's always so interesting. I always say to people, you know, just wait long enough. And if it happens to you, it'll feel very different. Right. You know, that's the whole thing. We're all thinking about where we're at in our present moment. But you know, there's other cultures I've been reading about, like last night, like the Filipino culture and Asian cultures. They really respect and they value the wisdom of their elders. Beautiful. I just love it. I think it is so Christ, and it's absolutely beautiful. So if you're part of the Asian descent or Filipino or any of the I know Italians too. They used to love their parents. I mean, I don't see it as much anymore, but when I was growing up in New Jersey, I mean, grandparents used to move in with you when they got sick. Your grandparents would you wouldn't even think about moving moving them somewhere else, you'd go, come on in, Grandma, come on in, Grandpa, right? And I don't know if that was that way in your family, Jerry. Was it?
Well, I didn't know many of my grandparents. I only knew one grandmother, and she died when I was, I think, in my early to mid-teens, so I don't really remember a whole lot about that. But I do have a very vivid experience and memories of my sister and brother-in-law, my sister Mary, God rest her soul, and her husband Larry. They took our mother in, and she lived there for many years until she was falling, and she just really needed to be in more of an attentive facility. But even then, Mary would visit all the time, but so would Larry. And I'd love to hear from those of you who are in-laws, you know, the in-laws, your spouse has a mother or a father that they are maybe taking care of, looking after, visiting in a facility. And, you know, have you taken that person, you know, deep into your heart as well? It's a beautiful thing. I love my brother-in-law, and I loved him for doing that for our mom. So it's 833-288-3986. And of course, outside North America, you can call 1-205-271-2985.
And I just got a beautiful text message from one of our wonderful listeners and friends in San Antonio, Texas. And she said, Debbie, same in the Hispanic culture. Same thing. We take in our parents, grandparents. And see, that's warm and loving and kind and respectful. And that is honoring thy father and mother. But, you know, we have broken, fractured families nowadays. This is not good. I mean, is Christ, you know, blessing this? I don't think so. I think there's got to be he's got to be looking at it thinking, wow, this is not the way it was intended. So let's talk about it. How do adult children treat their parents? That's what we want to look at from all angles here on Take Two. Please call us. We have three open phone lines, 833-288-3986.
Well, we do have the story in Luke chapter 4 of St. Peter, who was living at the time with his mother-in-law. Remember that one? Mm-hmm. She was ill, and Jesus, I think, if I remember the story right, Jesus came and healed her. So it goes way, way back. Even the very first pope, you guys had a mother-in-law living in the home with him. So how do we treat, as adult children, how do we treat our parents? Give us your take on this. As Debbie said, the good, the bad, the ugly. What are you seeing out there? How do you honor your father and your mother as adult children? 833-288-3986. Your calls are straight ahead. We are so glad you're with us. It's your show, Take Two, with Jerry and Debbie and you, as we talk today about adult children, how we treat our parents, maybe even our grandparents. 833-288-3986. Just want to mention, EWTN Religious Catalog, I've said it before, it's kind of like the Amazon of Catholic stuff. If you're looking for anything, jewelry, arts, books, DVDs, sacramentals, I mean, EWTN Religious Catalog has you covered, and they're featuring right now a scapular of Mount Carmel with medals and a white cord, and it features an attached small crucifix and the Saint Benedict medal, and it comes packaged with a brief explanation of the scapular of Mount Carmel and the Jubilee medal of Saint Benedict. It's available now at EWTNRC.com. There's free standard shipping for online orders $75 or more in the continental U.S. Use code FREE at checkout. Again, that's EWTNRC.com.
Okay, so a couple things. Maria was first up in San Antonio, Texas, and for some reason, Maria, your call dropped. Please call back, and we'll hopefully get you back on the air. But we want to address your question, because Maria, I think, has a question that all of us can relate to and maybe help others with. Maria from San Antonio, Texas, was calling and saying something to the effect that her siblings are taking care of her, I believe, her mother or her parents, and Maria cannot be there to take care of her mom. And so the guilt that rises up from that, when you know you have your siblings that are, you know, working overtime, you know, to really help with your parents, and you cannot be there for whatever reason, maybe a job situation or where you live, or you have other things going on in your life. And Maria was talking about the guilt that is felt with that. Do you want to address that first, Jerry? Or hopefully Maria will call back.
Yeah, well, let's, if we want, maybe we'll give her a chance to call back, but let's hold that in mind here, and I think we can get to it, because if circumstances simply don't allow Maria to be there, then there shouldn't be any guilt, but she seems to be struggling with that a little bit. So why don't we hold on to that and see if we get a call back from Maria.
Yeah, that's a good one, though. Guilt is, guilt plays a big part of, taking care of our parents or not taking care of our parents. Our friend G in Jersey just said, my grandmother lived with us and I shared a bedroom with her. Loved her. She died when I was 17. We shared a bedroom up until she died. Beautiful. It was her mother's mother. Isn't that beautiful? So her grandmother shared a bedroom with her. And see, what a beautiful, to learn from, the older generation who has been through so many things. I could just imagine the questions that G was asking her, what is this like? What is that like? See, the wisdom that comes from our seniors, I think is just, wow, you can't put a price tag on that.
Yeah, that's kind of a lost source of wisdom for us in many cases. So let's go to the phones here, 833-288-3986. Joanna in Idaho is first, listening on Alexa. Hi, Joanna. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I'm calling. When I heard your subject yesterday, I thought, I've got a call. I've got a good story for them. I work in hearing aid sales. I love what I do. I love the older people. They're my favorite. I love the grouchy old men because I can usually turn them around by the time they leave. And the old ladies, I just love them. I tell them, you're just so cute. I want to take you home. And they tell me, well, what would you do with me? I said, I don't know, but you're just so cute. But I had a situation once where I had a gal come in, and she was bringing her mother in, and they were late to the appointment. And let me walk away from my dog. She's playing with the toy. They were late to their appointment. So by the time they got there, she was pretty frazzled, the daughter was. And she was in a mood. And just the tone of voice and how she was talking to her mother, who was 93 years old, this lady was. It really got me. It made me, and honestly, it really made me mad. And my first reaction was to go after her, be mad at her. And I remember being a little short with her when she said, well, I want to go in during the test. And I said, no, you can wait out here. When it's time to go over the test, I'll bring you into the booth. And so I did the testing. And while I was testing the mama, I was thinking, how am I going to handle this? Because I can't let it go without doing or saying something. It just wasn't right what I was seeing there. I was actually worried about what it might be like at home type of a situation. So I finished the testing. I brought the daughter into the booth. And first thing I did is I looked at her and I said, I want to say thank you. And she looked at me like, what are you talking about? I said, yeah, first of all, I want to thank you. I said, it can't be easy taking care of your mom. I said, I know there's a lot, it's tough. But I want to say thank you for doing it because not everybody does. And she's blessed to have you. And she knows it. And I look over at the mama, and the mama's nodding her head yes. And it totally changed her. Her face or everything just changed. And so by the time they left, part of her struggle was, this lady was 93 years old and with a walker. She was having a heck of a time just walking with that walker. So I taught the daughter to sit her in the walker and push her like you're pushing a chair. And she says, wow, would have never thought of this. This will make life so much easier. And just the way she was treating her mom in that moment, it was just night and day from what I saw when they walked into my area there.
Well, I think that's beautiful. I mean, what you did is you valued and you validated the fact that her daughter was there taking care of her. She may not always be using the proper words or, being as kind as she possibly can be, but she's there and she loves her mom, and you acknowledged that. And so you brought out the best in her. And that is so what we do with life coaching, Joanna. It's so funny because Marty, I was going to call Jerry Marty. That's my husband's name. Jerry texted over that, this is so life skills. And it is. It truly is, because we don't take the time anymore to acknowledge what people are doing, how they are showing up, what they are saying, and we need to do more of that because it brings out the best in people. I know that when I used to take my mom. My mom's now homebound completely. But when I used to take my mom all the time to doctor's appointments and various things that she wanted to go to, people would actually say that to me. They'd go, "Wow, you're a great daughter." And I would go, I'd turn around and I'd go, "Who are they talking about?" But it felt good. After I got in the car, I felt like, wow, somebody is noticing that I'm showing up. I may not be the best I can be at all times, but I'm showing up. That's what you're trying to emphasize for all of us. So are you encouraging all of us to step up and maybe, you know, make those acknowledgments?
Absolutely. Being a caregiver has got to be horribly hard. My mother is a caregiver for my daddy. He's disabled. And I know sometimes she gets frustrated. She gets tired. She just needs a break. I encourage everybody out there, if you have somebody or know somebody that is a caregiver, give them a day off. Tell them to go to a movie, go out for a walk or something, that you'll sit with the person. Sit with them, talk with them, watch a movie with them, read a book to them, something. Give that other person a break. Being a caregiver is not easy. And so, you know, anybody loses their patience. And the brunt of it goes to the person that they're caring for. So I think we all need to be more conscious of that.
Right. Yeah, just a quick thought from me, Joanna. A couple things. One, I know what you're talking about. And I think when someone gets in that position, they think to themselves, they do get a little frustrated sometimes and impatient. The thing is, though, you know, with a married couple, it is what you signed up for. You know, remember the marriage, right? You know, for better, for worse, sickness and in health. And when you're young and everything's going great, you know, you feel like, oh, yeah, I did sign up for that. But later in life, you're like, oh, I didn't sign up for this, you know. So it can take on a little bit of a different perspective. But I'm reminded of a quote, and it's attributed to various people, so I'm not going to attempt to say who originated it, but the quote is this: everyone you meet is engaged in a battle you know nothing about. Be kind always. True. Yeah, you probably heard that before. True. Yeah.
Yes, yes, I have, yeah. But it's true, we don't know what they're fighting, so mm-hmm. all we can do is be supportive.
Well, thank you for the work
that you
do.
I love your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you for the work you do. You have a beautiful heart. It shows, and we can hear it in your words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not work. That's what I tell people. It's not work. I go in there and I have a play date every day with different people. I enjoy it completely.
Wonderful.
And I love how you take on the people that can be a little cranky. I love that. I love when you can kind of...
the guys, my people up front in the office, if the person that walks in has a little bit of an attitude or is cranky, they know to put them with me. I usually settle them down pretty quick, so, you know, in a nice way. But I usually get on the good side pretty easily. So.
Very cool.
Right.
Well, we're going to call.
Thanks.
We're going to call.
Thanks,
you, Joanna.
If
we get cranky, we're going to call you.
All righty, you got my number. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Thanks. God bless. Wow.
Oh, what a sweetheart. I love her. Yeah. That's so cool. Okay, so where are we going next?
Kay is next in Quartzsite, Arizona, a place Debbie knows well. Kay is listening on the EWTN app. Hi, Kay. Welcome.
Hi, Kay.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Pretty well now. How are you?
Awesome. Thank you.
Good.
So I was just going to say my husband's parents, so my in-laws, came and spent summers with us. He had Jim's dad had retired, so they spent summers with us during the summer. Mm-hmm. From the time we were married until 6 years before they passed away, they came and lived with us for about 6 or 7 years before they passed away. So we spent a lot of time with his parents.
Mm-hmm. And how was that?
I don't think it was something for everybody that everybody can do, but they were very conscientious of their space, and they didn't interfere with stuff. So it was an awesome experience to look back on. You know, there was always trying times, because when you put that many people in a house and everybody's got an opinion and a thought and all that goes with that. And there were some issues with his mother. She quit drinking and smoking both while she was in the process. Well, while she was at our house, basically. So. So there had been some struggle before she got to that point. So, yeah, it was good. It was something I would not trade.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good experience.
Yeah, and it makes me think of my mother, Kay. I mentioned her at the opening segment of the show, and she lived with my sister and brother-in-law, and God bless them. They were very, very patient. I'm just total transparency. I don't know if I could have had the patience, you know, to be able to do that. I would have done it if it were necessary, but they, you know, I watched the dynamics, you know, unfold in their home. They had two sons living with them at the time still. And they put my mother in what they called the bonus room. It was above the garage, and they basically set it up like a little apartment. They were super good to her and had refrigerator with all her favorite stuff in there, and they'd bring her meals and all this. But, you know, it does kind of, you know, the elbow room you talked about, you know, there's one bathroom upstairs for my mom and the two boys. And, you know, so it really is, it's a great act of love. It's a beautiful, beautiful gesture that you and your husband did. And I just want to say kudos to you for that. Like you said, it could be challenging, but I think, you know, sometimes God calls us to do that, Debbie.
And I agree. Okay, I think it's wonderful. You know, sometimes it's easy for us to take in our own parents, but when you're taking in your in-laws, that you have to really expand your heart, and it shows that you've done that and you did that so well. So, you know, you just have to imagine that that's very pleasing to God. And so I just want to say, yeah, kudos to you. Way to go, Kay. Thank you for sharing your story.
It was a really interesting process. Obviously, his mother was a very strong woman. She'd had a lot of one of many children on a farm in North Dakota. It was not an easy life that she'd led. I'll get emotional over this. It was really hard for her. And before she passed away, she and I were friends, but it took us a long time to get to that point. Because she just had so many hurts in her life, and, you know, it was everything that went into that. But I am so blessed to have been able to spend those last few years with her.
Yeah, yeah, and I bet it enabled you to get even closer to your husband, because you see, you know, you look at you know, his parents, and you see how he was raised, and so it makes you appreciate your husband more. So I mean, it was a beautiful, you know, you can hear it in your heart, Kay. You're a beautiful soul. I mean, not many people can do what you did, and I think it's you know, I pray for you that you see the blessings here, but for all of eternity.
Thank you. Yeah, it's not something everybody can do, and I would not encourage everybody to do it if it wasn't something that they could do with their heart, because it takes a lot of sacrifice on both sides of it. I mean, his parents, Walt and Helen, were very, very gracious. You know, like I said, they worked really hard to make it work as well, so it's not something you can go in there with an agenda, because it doesn't work when you do that. We also had two small boys that grew up with him, and that part of it was pretty cool. They got to have a really nice relationship with their grandparents that most kids don't get to. So it was good.
Well, I'm happy for you, Kay, in this sense. You know, going into it, and when you're going through it, it can be difficult. There are the challenges that we've talked about here in the last few minutes. But now, after the fact, you have a clear conscience. You realize the gifts that you received in doing that and in making those sacrifices. And so I'm glad that you are able to look back and say, you know what, we did it. We got through it. We did the right thing. God blessed us. And, you know, and then you can sleep well at night. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kay, what are your in-laws' first names? We want to put them in the book if you feel comfortable. Their first names?
Thank you. Walt and Helen.
Walt and Helen. Beautiful. And your husband's name is Jim? We put your whole family in.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kay. God bless.
Oh, she was saying something about Jim. Oh. I didn't hear that. Jim said, are you still with us?
Jim.
Okay, Jim, is Jim okay?
No, well, he is now. He went home to be with the Lord. He died on July 4th this year. So last year, obviously, it'll be a year.
Oh,
it's going to be a day of celebration.
Yes, yeah, but so
be assured of prayers. Yeah, prayers from the Take-Two family around the world.
Thank you, Kay. Wow, we've got the whole family in the book, so we're praying. This Take-Two with Jerry and Debbie. We're talking about how we treat our parents today. Join us, will you?
Nice of you to spend a little bit of your day with us. Hope you can hear the whole hour of the show. I know people tune in and out of radio programs, but we are grateful for your listenership at Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Michael Birchfield is our producer. Jeff Burson is collecting your social media comments, and we hope to get to some of those. Ryan Penny is on the phones, and we're talking today about how adult children treat their parents. And we're going to go back to the telephone with Stacy and Charlotte, listening on Sirius XM 130. Good to have you with us, Stacy. Welcome.
Hey there. I've stopped crying from Kay's story. Really touched my heart. She you knew she had something powerful, and it was. Tearing up just thinking about it.
Me too, Stacy. Me too.
I know. You just can really feel connected as the body of Christ, really always with EWTN, but in certain radio shows like yours, you really, so I'll be a driving and a blubbering idiot. So that's why I'm going to park. But so I was calling because I'm an adult, 57 now, but this story takes place about 5 years ago. My parents divorced when I was 30, a full-fledged adult. And when that happened, my father was out of control, and I sided, I'll just say, with my mom. And she couldn't have been a better mom. And I have 12 kids, and she was, I don't know that we could have had 12, my husband and I could have had 12 kids without my mom. So she was a wonderful mom, but it was a very bitter and difficult divorce. And so I was estranged from my father for 25 years. And I tried to reach out, but he didn't respect boundaries. Like, I wanted boundaries around his second wife, which that ended in divorce. So I wanted to protect my family. And then God provided and discerned, and my husband agreed that there was an opening for me and my father to try and rekindle some kind of relationship. Because I didn't hate my father. I just don't do crazy anymore. I was raised crazy. I don't do crazy. And I didn't want to bring that into, John and I didn't want to bring that into our family. Well, that hurt my mother very deeply, very, very deeply. And she kind of went out on the crazy lane. And she'd been mentally healthy for, emotionally healthy is a better way to put it, pretty emotionally healthy. But when I did this, she saw it as a huge betrayal. And she was really kind of crazy around my family. And I said, Mom, as an adult child, this is what I need to do for my relationship with my father. I'm sorry that this hurts you, but this has to, I have to go through this process. And so I did. And my children were very excited to go through this process with their grandfather, who they didn't know. And we did a 2-week trip out to Big Bend, which was a horrible idea, but it was good because I learned that everything I experienced as a child was real. All of the emotional abuse, all of the his personality difficulties, all of it. It was real. And my children saw it firsthand. So the first thing I did after I came home and my father left, and I was kind with him, and, you know, there was no crazy blow-ups or anything in this 2-week camping trip, is I called my mom, and I said, this has now been 5 months, Mom, can I please come over and see you? And she said, yes, you can. So I came over with a blanket that I'd gotten in San Antonio, so like a Mexican-style, Indian-style blanket. And she was sitting out on the porch with her face kind of tight and pinched. And I said, I brought this blanket. I opened it up, and I said, I come in peace, Mom. And I put it around her, and I got down on my knees before her. And I said, I'm sorry for all the pain that these last 5 months have caused you. I had to go through this process, but I just want to tell you that I cannot thank you enough for what you did for me and my two siblings for all those years and staying married. I love you so much. You know, please forgive me for that pain. And she did, and we gradually rekindled our relationship, and I had a daughter that was getting married, my first daughter. Well, not 5 months after that peace blanket, and we had a wonderful, wonderful 5 months, my mother was diagnosed with a terminal glioblastoma. And when that happened, it was obviously shocking, but one of the things she told me is she had had to spend Easter during our estrangement at a monastery. She spent all of Holy Week in this monastery outside of Atlanta. And she said, I never want to spend another Easter outside of a monastery. Well, that's really, really important because now she has this glioblastoma. I had a vision that she was going to die in my house, in my bedroom, surrounded by my 12 children like a crown. Well, don't you know that my mother passed away with us singing the Divine Mercy Chaplet in my bedroom with a crown around her on, get this, Easter Sunday.
Hmm. Wow.
This hours wow. before Mother Angelica.
Wow.
Hours, like 2 hours before Mother mm-hmm. Angelica. Mm-hmm. And my mom had had a vision on the Friday before Palm Sunday, so about a week before she died. And she said she had seen Our Lady, and she laid down in front of Our Lady, and she said there were roses at Our Lady's feet. And I said, well, what color were they, Mom? And she said, yellow roses.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole story that I won't tell yeah. about the yellow roses that goes on after mm-hmm. my mother passed away. But I just thought that maybe that could be a story that would bring healing to people who, how do you set boundaries with adult parents? What happens when they don't respect those boundaries? How mm-hmm. you still have to do your duty to yourself and your family and clear conscience, like Jerry was saying. And God has a plan, a master plan,
yeah.
better than you could ever imagine.
And it's all in His timing. It's all in His timing, Stacy. And you recognize that. And I just want to say a couple things real fast. First of all, I'm an emotional mess, so I'm trying to hold back all the tears. I can. It's very hard. If anybody's got any tips on how to hold back tears, because it's tough, especially when you're feeling your, you know, right, Stacy, when you're feeling your whole body just.
I don't have them.
I know. But a couple things I just wanted to say, Stacy. First of all, thank you so much for being open to life and 12 beautiful children. That is so amazing. So many of us wanted big families. It wasn't, you know, it didn't happen like that for us. And so you are so blessed. You and I think you said your husband's name is John. But, you know, with you, you know, having some closure and reconciling with your father, that took a lot for you to do. It really did, because you went through a lot. But then it hurt, like you said, and divorce is hard. It divides, it destroys, okay? It's tough. And a lot of emotions are flying all over the place. But then what you did with your mom, of loving your mom and you know, reaching out again to your mom after that time that you spent that 5 months, I think you said, is spent apart. But then to have her be with you as she transitioned into eternity, I think is so beautiful. And so many families don't get that opportunity. They don't want that opportunity. They run from it, and they're missing a chance to encounter God at a level that they never would be able to encounter Him. And I think you can attest to that, Stacy, because what you witnessed, what you saw in your prayers, and what you actually witnessed with your mom, you know, that's God in action. And it's a beautiful thing. And families are divided, they're fractured, they're trying to just get away from one another. It's such a missed opportunity. I just wanted to state that, and I know Jerry has some things to share.
Well, just briefly, since my father passed away, my mother was surrounded by, I was not there when she passed, but I said, my sister and brother-in-law and so many others were around her, and she had a beautiful death. But I would say, because of the way my father passed away, I say God is so gentle. He had been away from the church for about 30 or 40 years. And really, we didn't know him. My parents divorced when I was 7. And so the beautiful thing was our mother and all 5 of us kids were around his bed when he died. I mean, I look at that and I say, God, are you kidding me? You know? And so I wouldn't trade that for anything, Stacey. And I know, based on that beautiful story you just told, the Divine Mercy Chapel at Easter Sunday, my goodness, you were given a gift that is absolutely priceless.
I know, it was so beautiful, and she was basically blind and paralyzed for the last few weeks, and we did not leave her alone for 18 days, because she, can you imagine saying, I'm thirsty, and there's nobody there, and you don't even know how disorienting that was. She was never left alone, and we had the manpower to do that. I had 2 kids in med school at the time. God allowed it so they could literally be there to help me take care of her in my house. And I agree with you how sad it is. You may know my pastor is Father Kirby. Sometimes he's on EWTN.
Oh, yeah. Father Jeffrey Kirby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, yeah, you're lucky.
Listen to his YouTubes, please, everybody.
I have, yes.
Yeah. Wow. I won't do a plug for him, but you can find him. But on her 1-year anniversary, I thought I was doing okay, so I went to the book club because he was doing a then-you-could-do in-person book club. He happened to tell a story about 2 sisters, and they didn't want to take care of their mom who was dying, and that was my mom's 1-year anniversary. I just burst out, and I ran out of the room in tears because I would have taken care of her.
Wow.
It was the greatest grace of my life. So I just cannot encourage anybody. Don't let God heal you. He will bless you. God heal you.
Amen to that, Stacy. Stacy, you're a beautiful soul. Call us anytime, okay? Stay in touch with us. We just love you to pieces.
I love you guys. Anyway, I'm sorry. I hate to say it. I'm not a blubbering mess all the time, but, you know, when you love somebody as much as you do your mom, and God was so good, it comes up. And
absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Well, and don't worry, Stacy, this is the radio home of blubbering messes, so don't ever be afraid. No, anybody, don't ever be afraid to show emotion on this show. This show is, we just like to get real, you know, that's what it's about. So,
you know, Kleenex should really sponsor us. Seriously.
Yeah, really. Well, I could go to Mass, and I know she believes this, and I do too, and receive my mom more intimately in the Eucharist than I ever could when she was here.
Right.
And that's an act of faith and hope that I believe. So that's what you cling to, not the emotions. They're good too, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway,
those,
thank
Stacey,
you so much.
You're welcome. But absolutely, in Christ, when we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity, we are connected more than we could ever be as we are walking on this earth. It is so incredible. And we are all connected. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a beautiful thing. Stacy, we love you. Thank you so much. Thank you for gracing this conversation today with your amazing story. Jerry, real quickly, may I just share this? I hope it's okay if I share this, but Stacy had shared about her wonderful pastor. Another pastor that we know, Father Chad King, just is listening right now to our show, and he's on his day off. And see, I'm going to cry because I know this family, and they're a beautiful family. He's on his day off going to care for his dad, who's got ALS, so that his mom can have a break and get and do some errands and get a haircut. So here he is, a priest, a pastor of a big parish, on his day off, taking care of his dad, so his mom can have a break. So Father Chad, we just love you too. You know, see, this is beautiful. This is Christ in action, and we need to have more conversations like this, I think, anyway.
I was just going to say, Father Chad is just being priestly, you know, sacrifice and goodwill and gestures like this are the essence of the priesthood. So thank you for doing that, Father Chad. We're going to get back to your calls in a second. I want to mention another show, folks, that you really, I think it's one of the most important shows on EWTN, Raymond Arroyo's The World Over, and it's tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on most of these same EWTN stations. Raymond hosts the program. It's a news magazine program from Washington, D.C., featuring newsmakers from around the world. And there's always stuff to talk about, especially both in the church and in the world today. Raymond brings you the best of the interviews and information. So that's World Over tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on EWTN Radio.
Okay, we have some social media comments coming in, a lot of text messages coming in, and we've got full phone lines here on Take Two. But if you'd like to try to get on the show, I guess start calling now, 833-288-3986, but we're running out of time. So up next is, I hope I get this correct, is it Joselle? Is it, help me out here.
Joselle?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it's Joselle.
Hi, Joselle in San Antonio, Texas. Guadalupe Radio Network is the way you're listening. First-time caller, welcome.
Yes, thank you very much. I listen to you guys all the time on my way to Mass, mostly. I love your show, and wow, what a story Stacy had, huh? Golly. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
That was beautiful. Now, I just wanted to add that we have, I have seven siblings, and for the last 13 years since my mom has passed away, we've been taking care of my dad. He's 99 right now. And he's just, it hasn't been an easy for all of us. Some have been a struggle for some of us more than others. And but we've all stuck together. And we just praise God that dad has, we have the resources that can take care of him. And we don't have to put him in any type of facility. Because I saw that for my grandfather, and I don't ever want that to happen for him. So anyway, I wanted to add that.
Wow, that's beautiful, Joselle. And you one of eight children. That's fantastic. Another big family. And you know, God bless you for doing that. Yeah, 99 years old. What a beautiful gift he obviously has been to you and your family by bringing all eight of you into the world with your mom. And you know, we're sorry about her passing, but Debbie, I think this is just another example of, you know, it's beautiful to see siblings coming together. It's so sad to see, you know, when there's infighting and it's like, you take care of mom, you take care of dad, I'm not having any part of it or whatever. It's just, I think it's a beautiful, especially beautiful thing to see mm-hmm. siblings all say, let's do this together.
Absolutely. And it's so beautiful. I think from your dad's perspective, Joselle, I think, you know, 99 years old, you know, he's lived a very, very long life. And to see his children there, doing the things that he used to do for you, you know, when you were little, I get these images in my head and I just, and you talk about welling up in tears. I'm just a mess. I'm telling you, because I think so many times we don't realize that, you know, unless you've been a parent, right, and you've gone through everything, you don't realize what it's really like. And when you get older, it's not that you're expecting your children to show up. You want your children to show up because the love you had for them, you hope that they have that same love for you, right? And
yes,
and
absolutely.
Yeah, and your family's doing that. And so God bless your family. Can you give us your dad's first name? Because 99, that's a special number.
Yeah, he's determined to make it to 100. His name is Mike.
Mm. Oh, well, there you go. He's got a strong name. So
yeah, he does. Yeah, he does.
He sure does. Let's go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, let's pray that St. Michael the Archangel is always around him. But go ahead.
Yeah, he's got several grandchildren and great-grandchildren named after him. And so it's, you know, it's a huge blessing to have St. Michael in our family, very active in our family. So
yes.
It's been wonderful.
That's beautiful.
Well,
that
says a lot about your dad, Joselle. If people name their kids after an individual like that, it really is a great tribute. So it says a lot about what he's meant to all of them as a dad and a grandfather and a great-grandfather. Praise God. Thank you, Joselle.
Beautiful.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate your show very much.
Oh, thanks.
Well, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for supporting it. But speaking of Joselle's story, San Antonio, Texas, Maria was in San Antonio. She had called in. She dropped off. Maria was talking about the guilt that she feels because she's one of the siblings that cannot be there to take care of her. I think it's her mother. I'm not sure, Maria, if you're listening. But let's talk about that a little bit. If you can't physically be there, you know, in the home or at the place, the facility, or the around the bedside of your loved one, if you can't physically be there for whatever reason, there's other things that you can do. Prayers. Okay, say prayers for all of those siblings that are taking care of your parents, They need that. They need that strength. Okay. Call them, talk to them, say, listen, I can't physically be there, but I want to be there for you. I want to, encourage you and affirm you and praise you and thank you for being there for mom or dad. There's things that you can do if you can't physically be there. Okay. And the reason why I know that is because I have a sister who's very good about doing that. She's constantly checking in with me, and that helps tremendously. Okay, now I'm totally a mess. Thank you again, Josel and Maria. I guess she's not going to be able to call back. It's too late, right?
Well, yeah, I think just to cap off what you said, Maria and others in that situation, just be faithful to your state in life where God has you right now. And as Debbie said, there are other things you can do. But you will bring many graces into a situation. Even if you can't be there, you have that desire in your heart to be there, maybe a heartache that you can't be there. But just simply say, Lord, please provide for what I would be able to do with your help if I were able to be there. And God can definitely do that. And at least thank God she does have apparently other siblings who are able to take care of her mother. So Maria, thank you for your call earlier. You dropped off. Sorry about that. But we wanted to address that real quickly. We have Tony, speaking of San Antonio. Tony is in San Antonio watching the video on YouTube, as she always does. Hi, Tony. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Sure.
I want to say that Debbie is right. Everybody needs to listen to Debbie. I had a tough childhood with years of anger. Listen to you too, but Debbie commented about her prayer when she was praying this morning. I had a tough childhood with years of anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness on my part. But then God helped me to see my parents from God's perspective, and that really changed me. Now I have the mother I always wanted and spend much time helping her with a lot of things. What blessings and happy memories I now have that I will hold on to someday if she passes before me. And to anyone with living parents, please call them, like Debbie says to do, before it's too late, and pick up the phone, and you're not going to regret it. That's all I had to say.
Well, that's beautiful, Tony. Thank you so much for your listenership and all the things you do for the program and the Take-Two family. And, I just think that... you've got a beautiful story. And, say the things. That's what some people say. The saying is, folks, say the things. Say the things you want to say. Do the things you want to do. I'm grateful that I had, my relationship with my mom was not always that great. I've mentioned that on this program before. But the Lord really, truly orchestrated a time for us to be together at my sister's home where my mother was living at the time. And the Lord put it on my heart to bring up some things with my mom. And lo and behold, she said to me, before I did, she says, there are some things I want to talk about. And I said, this is absolutely God right here. And it was so beautiful. We both cried. And it was just very, very healing. Exactly what Tony's talking about, Debbie.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tony, I was holding back every bit that I could. And then when I heard you and your beautiful introduction as you came in onto the show, I lost it big time because you know my heart, Tony, and thank you for affirming that. But for everyone, because here's the situation. I used to for years go into facilities, and I would do different volunteer work at different senior centers. And then when my mom was in facilities, I can't tell you how many times dads and moms would come up to me and they would say, they'd hold my hand. Now, listen, they didn't have dementia or Alzheimer's or anything else. They would hold my hand and they say, I just wish my daughter would just spend a few minutes with me like you're spending with your mom. And it hurt so badly because I knew that I loved my mom so much and I spent all this time with her and I saw all these other people just waiting for someone to hold their hand for 5 seconds or just to be there. They didn't even want a lot of time. They just wanted a little bit of time. And I used to feel guilty. I would go into my mom's apartment and I'd say, Mom, I think I should go out and just say hi to everybody. And she'd say, okay, go ahead. But my mom was happy because she knew I was coming back, right? And these people don't know if their kids are coming back. I'm not trying to lay guilt on anyone, but these are your parents. And I agree, Tony, we've before it's too late, right?
Yes. Yes. How beautiful. And I'm so happy. I mean, my mom, about a year ago, I was helping her fix her cell phone, and she's not always savvy on cell phone technology, neither am I, but I'm a little better than she is. But she said, this is about a year ago, she said, yes, I guess now this is the the cell phone is the wave of the future. And it's only been out like 20 years or so, but just good memories like that. And you're not going to get them when they're gone. Of course, you can pray, you can make prayers and things like that. But I'm taking every opportunity now later in life with my mom to have that relationship. And I started crying when you were talking there. But that's beautiful. And there's so many people, you're right, that like I said, somebody, I feel it too, somebody needs to be picking up that phone and making a call.
Beautiful stuff, Tony. Thank you so much for rounding out the program here. Judy and the others, we invite you to call tomorrow. We have unscripted tomorrow. That means we don't have a topic. So if anyone wanted to get on today's show and didn't have a chance to do that, you hear the music, you are welcome to call and comment on today's topic tomorrow if you'd like. Right, Debbie?
Unscripted is always very active, and it's wonderful. So please, if there's anything you'd like to share, we love to just revisit past subjects or even continue this one that we're having today. This has been a great show. Thanks, you guys. You did a great job. And I really feel that it's going to inspire others to get closer to their parents. So until tomorrow, have a beautiful and blessed day. And we ask St. Joseph, in the year of St. Joseph, please pray for us.